I am Planta on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. We look at the life of the novelist and activist Hubert Aucan now. The Quebec-born writer died in 1977, but his work remains oft-studied and discussed. In 2003, his novel Next Episode, the English translation of Prochain Episode, was the winner of the Canada Reads thing on CBC Radio. Now his novella, Les Sables Mouvants, Shifting Sands, is translated for the first time in a bilingual edition. Marie-Claire Blay says that this novella is worthy of Kafka's Metamorphosis. Joseph Jones joins me now to discuss Aucan and this book. Mr. Jones is librarian emeritus at the University of British Columbia. Originally from the Carolinas, he was in Quebec during the October crisis. He's long been interested in Aucan's life and work. He found this novella in its original manuscript form and translated it. It's published by Ronsdale Press. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Joseph Jones. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Who was Hubert Aucan?
Well, he was born in 1929. It was an interesting period in Quebec history. The Silent Revolution, the 60s, the FLQ. And at one point, he was quite dramatically arrested and considered a terrorist.
Why do you call it the Silent Revolution as opposed to the Quiet Revolution?
Oh, sorry. I substituted the wrong term there, that's all.
Oh, okay. I just thought that...
Nothing particular.
Yeah.
And to turn it around, I noticed you said it was Next Step or something, and it's actually Next Episode in the second and latest translation.
I see. Okay. Yeah. In terms of what he means to Quebecers, what is that?
Oh, he's almost probably something like the Shakespeare of Quebec. Not that he is of that stature, but he looms very large in 20th century Quebec literature, and evidence for this is the naming. It's in a way it's ironic because he's a bit of a counter figure. He refused the Governor General's award, and now he has a pavilion at the University of Quebec at Montreal named after him. So he's an establishment in spite of himself.
Yeah. How did he come to become a separatist?
Probably through his studies in philosophy and his reflection on the political situation of Quebec.
So was this early on, or was this much later as he became an established writer?
I'm not that well acquainted with the detail of that part of his biography. I think it goes back to very early days.
Did you remember when you first encountered him, or when you first came across his work?
Well, I have very clear memories of walking the streets of Montreal in 1970, 71, looking through the bookstore windows of French booksellers and seeing the graphic of Trou de Mémoire, that's translated as Blackout, sitting there in the window. So I was aware of him even at that stage, but I was not reading him.
Was he, in terms of sales and the sort, I know it's an odd way to measure one's success, but in Quebec, his books sold well?
I understand that his best-known novel, which you have referred to, continues to sell well every year, and that may be because, as with so many perpetual bestsellers, it is a staple of courses in literature.
Now, this book book had been published in French, correct? Shifting Sands.
All of his writing was in French, and it was published, but only fairly recently in the collected work. Before that, it had been available only in manuscript. I had been led to believe that it existed only in manuscript, and thus waited until I could actually get to Montreal and read it in the manuscript.
Why hadn't it been published before? I mean, you've talked to his wife and his son.
Well, we didn't specifically talk about that, so I wouldn't lay any of this at their feet. But at the time, it was pretty extreme writing for the time and place in terms of what happens, the grotesqueries, and also it very definitely ties into a biographical relationship. I'm not sure even now that I know who the person is, but in a very long book by his friend Gordon Shepherd, there is an indication of the person, and there is comment from the person. The person's name may have been changed. She says he wrote one story in particular where he spoke about me in terms both passionate and violent. Hubert always hesitated between aggression and tenderness.
You go to Montreal. When was this?
When did I go to Montreal?
Yeah, in terms
I
of this.
I moved to Montreal in 1970.
And you moved from the States, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. But in terms of this book and in finding the manuscript, when was that?
That happened in the last, well, since year 2000. The novella came to my attention because I was reviewing the book that I have already mentioned. It's a very strange, long work. The subtitle is A Self-Murder Mystery, and I was quite interested to read it, and I found this passage in it, and this passage related to a topic and themes that I've been working on since I was in graduate school back in the 1970s.
So the manuscript is part of his papers, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. When you find it in its original French, and you attempt the translation, you obviously talk to his literary executors about that, his wife, his widow.
Oh, I would not have been given a copy of the manuscript without their permission.
Right. And did they come to you, or how was it? Did they say, we'd like you to translate it, or was it your idea?
It was my initiative. I was in Montreal. I sat down one afternoon. I read the manuscript, and the idea came to me that I would really like to see this translated, partly myself to better understand it in relation to the larger interest that it fits into. And I talked to the people in the archive. They put me in touch with his widow, and I met her and her son in a cafe, and we talked about this possibility, and we went on from there.
And the book from Ronsdale that I have here in front of me has the French on one side and the English translation on the other. Was there much change from the manuscript in French?
Well, what is accessible to us, I understand there is another manuscript in private hands, but there is the editing is made easier by the fact that we only have available to us one manuscript. And to a large extent, this is a transcription of that manuscript. There are, as you can see, there are textual notes, probably more detailed than you even find in the standard critical edition. And so the editing wasn't difficult, and given that it is a typescript and not in his handwriting, except for strikeovers and the problem of, say, accents that are too light to be read, it's a pretty clean and easy to read manuscript.
And I'm curious because I only speak one language. I speak English, barely speak English. But when you go from one language to another, Are you, as a translator, do you take liberties in terms of what one means?
There are ranges of philosophy in this. My tendency is to be as literal as possible. But of course, if you're completely, you can't be literal. And if you are, chances are you're going to be so unreadable that nobody will put up with your translation.
Yeah.
So you can't work at the level of gloss. But as much as possible, I like to reflect what the original text has written, and not to be too free. That said, I can give you one example where the same root word, which is a key word to the novella, I have found it advisable to translate three different ways, and that word is griefe or grief, and that's a verb or a noun. And I have variously translated that as scratched, claw at, and talons. And ideally, I would have used the same root word in English for all three of those. But as it turned out, it didn't read well if I did that.
Now, this story, it's about Francois, right?
Francois and Hélène.
Yeah.
And those are the two. But it's told from his point of view, and from inside his head.
And he's in Naples, and he's waiting.
In Naples.
He's waiting for Hélène to come, right?
That's correct.
You mentioned that that you couldn't tell if this was biographical or not. What's your sense? So, what do you think?
Oh well, given the external evidence that we have that I've already mentioned, there is very definitely a biographical component. At the end of the manuscript, he lists all of the places that he wrote the novella, and he was traveling through Italy, and Naples was one of the places that he was at. The external evidence is so thin that I really can't say how much of the story reflects what actually happened. So much of it is fantastic and metaphorical and imagistic. He was a good writer, and good writers don't simply sit down and try to transcribe their feelings and what's happened to them and their youthful miseries. They give it form, they give it shape, and they turn it into literature, and it's very clear that in the background of this is a theoretical concern, a concern with form, and he has, I would say this is one of the places where he is turning toward his signature type of writing.
And as you know, I have never read any of his other books. How autobiographical is he in those other novels that he's written?
Well, in some measure, every writer is autobiographical in that they take what has come to them in life and transmute it into writing. That's one of the attractions for me, is that I see a lot of his life in his writing, but it's not simply taken, and there is a lot of reflection and processing in what he produces.
And now he commits suicide in 1977. You mentioned earlier that he was considered a terrorist for his involvement in the separatist movement, the sovereignty movement in Quebec.
Well, it wasn't so much for his involvement as for the circumstances in which he was found. I think he had a handgun, and he was in a stolen car. And what ended up happening was that he was put into an institution for a mental institution, I believe, for 4 months.
Was he mentally ill, though?
I wouldn't care to pass that judgment. I think a lot of people would say anybody who has chosen to take their life may be, but I wouldn't say that.
What do the people around him say, like his widow?
Well, I haven't talked to her about that, but again, going back to this person who may have been the Ellen of the story, the interviewer asked her, at that time in the early 50s, did you suspect he had suicidal tendencies? And of course, hindsight is great. Her answer is, yes, his feelings, his attitudes were so violent, so excessive, so exalted and dramatic. For example, in Paris, when we were out together, he'd suddenly lie down right in the middle of the street. I used to say to myself, that guy could well commit suicide one day.
Huh. Are there other manuscripts in the archive there? Are there any other works that we haven't seen yet?
Haven't seen. I think most of the material has been put into the 11-volume critical edition in French. But if we're talking about English language readers, yes, absolutely. Yeah. There's a great deal that has not been translated. Including his first full-length novel, which I would say probably has not seen translation yet for the same reasons that possibly this novella had not. In the simple English translated title would be The Invention of Death.
We talked off the top about how he matters in Quebec. Should he matter to Canadian readers outside of Quebec, English readers even?
I would turn that around just a little bit, and rather than say a simple yes, say, should Quebec matter to the rest of Canada? And of course, I believe it should.
Yeah. Did you have fun reading, doing this book and translating it?
Yes and no. The initial translation I found was a very pleasant experience. I've never worked with a text of this length in translating. And the mental experience of turning a good piece of literature into English was extremely pleasing. The mechanics of finding the publisher and getting all the pieces together were part of the harder part of the job.
You were a librarian at UBC for a number of years. I've always wondered what happens to the book jackets when the books are put on the shelf, because I noticed that they don't have jackets.
That's correct. Public libraries like to cover them with plastic because they make them attractive to the readers, and I totally understand that. UBC, in sort of the early to middle part of my career, had massive files in the back rooms of old dust jackets. Ronald Hagler in the library school, one of my teachers, made a practice of saving some of the more interesting ones and had quite a collection. I probably still have a few around the house here, but by and large they were discarded. They may even have been put out for people to take as they would.
And is just a cost thing that they didn't want to have to cover them in plastic, or?
Well, part of it would have been cost. The other part is that they would not have stood up.
Yeah.
And, the cost would have been prohibitive. That is an expensive process.
Yeah. This has been a very interesting story in terms of how you came to this manuscript. I appreciate your time today.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, and I hope people enjoy the additional insight into this very interesting novella, and I hope it will lead them to read it.
I suspect they will, yeah. The book is called Shifting Sands. It's translated by Joseph Jones. It's by Hubert Auquin. It's published by Ronsdale Press. The translator, Joseph Jones, on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.